So we're continuing our exploration of the four Dharma seals. Considering impermanence, suffering, or unsatisfactoriness, no separate self, and nirvana. And I'd kind of like to emphasize this morning the no separate self. So, but of course, as I've been saying, that's all, you can't really separate these four Dharma seals from each other, but we'll kind of lean a little more into the no separate self today. And I would like to start that with a guided meditation rather than starting it by talking. And this is a meditation instruction from the Satipatthana Sutta, or the Sutra on the Four Establishments of Mindfulness. And in this one, one of the instructions around mindfulness of the body is about mindfulness of the universal body, or how our bodies are not separate from the elements of the earth or the universe. And, you know, in classical times, they thought of the elements as earth, water, air, and fire. So those are the elements we're talking about, but it makes sense for us too. I mean, we could talk about it from a physics point of view or chemistry, but sometimes it's nice to go with the more things that we can understand without having a scientific background. So to begin for this, I just invite you to come back into your meditation seat. And actually, you know, for this, you know, depending on what's going on with your body, if you wanted to do this as a lying down meditation, that would be all right too. But if you know that you might, that you're likely to fall asleep if you do that, then maybe better not. But you're fine to do that. If you want to turn off your video while we're doing this meditation, you can do that. It's very open. So as you're settling in, just noticing the contact points, where your body is touching the floor, the cushion, the chair. And just feeling that support. Bringing your awareness into your whole body. And bringing your awareness to your breathing. You might say to yourself, breathing in, I'm aware of my whole body. Breathing out, I'm aware of my whole body. And really allowing yourself to be present to and be aware of how your body is right now. All the feelings and sensations, aches and pains, or ease and happiness that's in your body and the different parts of your body right now. And now I invite you to bring your awareness into the earth element that's present in your body. So when we do this, we're paying attention to the solid nature of our bodies. So we're really noticing the structure, the skeletal structure, our bones. And really breathing and being with that solidness. We could say this is like sitting and being with the mountain nature of our bodies, sitting like a mountain or lying down like the rock bed on a mountain. And even though mountains are impermanent, we can still feel the relative weight of that earth element, that mountain element in our bodies. We can be aware of a longer timeline of our bodies when we bring awareness to the earth element, to our bones. And in the same way that the solid core of the earth, the rocks and the dirt and the mountains support all the life that's on the earth, we can also feel in the way in which our bones support our own life and all the other elements of our body. Feeling the way in which our bones are strong and steady. And knowing how our bones and all the elements in our body are made up of the same building blocks as all the elements in the rest of the earth and the universe. So feeling that connection to the earth and the universe through our bones. And next, I invite you to notice the water element in your body. So feeling the fluidity. Considering the blood that's running through your veins. And how about 70% of your body is made up of water? And that there's even fluid within your bones. So aware of the fluid throughout your body. You might also bring particular attention to your tears, whether they're next to your eyeballs or running out, the mucus in your nose and mouth, your saliva. The fluid surrounding your brain. The fluid coating your esophagus. The fluid in your stomach and intestines. The urine in your bladder. And again, the blood flowing throughout your body. And just as there are rivers and lakes on the land, on the earth, so too this fluid is present in your body, cooled up in places or flowing. And next, bringing your awareness to the air element in your body. So as you breathe in, really feel the way in which the air moves throughout your lungs. And then how that oxygen flows into your bloodstream. With a kind of magical exchange that happens that keeps you alive. So in a way, even in your blood, there is the air element. And paying special attention to that air element as it comes in through your nose. And flows into your lungs, filling your lungs, filling your body. And then as it flows out, and to me, the air element is such a dramatic example of how we're interconnected with everything. Because here is an element that was so-called outside of our body, and then it comes in and becomes part of our body and then goes out. So really, where is the beginning of our body here and where is the ending? We can also feel, as we notice the air element, how it is that we actually could not exist without this element. We couldn't exist without all of the other elements as well, but to me, the air element is very dramatic. In helping me to see the way in which I am completely interconnected with everything, and that there really is not a separate self. And finally, I invite you to bring your attention to the fire element in your body. So feeling the heat that your body is generating. We could say that heat element is in our bodies because of the sun that caused the plants to grow, that we could eat and take in those calories, that heat element that then allows our bodies to generate heat. So as we contemplate the fire element, we can see how we're not separate from the sun and from the growing living things on the earth that we consume for food. And to close the meditation, I invite you to come back to noticing your breath and your body. And allowing yourself to feel that connection with all the elements, earth, water, air, and fire. And allowing there to be a lot of spaciousness around that noticing. So inviting yourself to notice beyond your thoughts about it. And just being present. Just resting in your connection to all that is. So I'll give people a chance to just get resettled. If you were sitting down, you might want to stand up and stretch. And to take a page from Resmaa Menakem, if it was like intense, you might want to shake it out. Actually do kind of that movement, your body with your hands and arms. I'm not standing up because it's like really hard to arrange all these robes again sitting back down. So I've been contemplating a lot lately about this no separate self, or in particular, the expression of the no separate self. Another way to express it is the complete and profound interconnections with all beings and all things that each of us has, like that we can't exist alone and we don't exist alone, and that we're always being supported by everything in the universe. So this came up a few different places for me recently, but one was I was interviewed for a podcast called Sit, Breathe, Bow, which is going to be published sometime soon. Anyway, I think we were talking about how to do, the question was like how to do social justice work and not get burned out, like how to do this work from a very spacious, grounded position. And one of the things I said was, well, it's like when we're sitting, and my teacher, Joan Snyder O'Neill, would remind me often, we never are sitting by ourselves or for ourselves. We're always sitting with all beings and for all beings. And that really enlivens me and gives me the energy to go forward. And anyway, the interviewer said, well, that sounds very esoteric. Can you say, you know, something more? I had to look up later what esoteric meant. And it means something like specialized knowledge that only can be understood by a few or difficult to understand. And because at the time, I can't remember exactly what I said in response, but I thought, well, it doesn't feel esoteric to me. It feels really concrete and obvious, but but I guess maybe it's not so much. I mean, I think that this is where doing things like this kind of meditation, where we're really sort of using our active imagination to engage with the way in which we really are supported by all beings and all things, or just the fact of doing a sesshin or sitting zazen, where we start to notice, you know, how there isn't a separate self. But I guess it is, you know, it's not something that is like comes naturally to people. You know, usually we're thinking of ourselves as separate. So, and even those of us who've been practicing for a long time, you know, if we don't like sort of actively work on the, that sense of things, I think it can be easy to just forget it. So it's important to do things, whatever we need to do, to really remember it and activate it in such a way that we're really feeling it in our bones. I like to say in our bones, like the strongest part of our body or the deepest part. Maybe we should say marrow, the deepest part, but whatever, where it's really like imbued in us. Let's see. I want to share something from other teachers who are wiser than me. So let's see. I can share from, again, this is from Opening the Hand of Thought by Uchiyama Roshi. And this is also the same from the section where he's talking about the four Dharma seals. So he says, "I can't stress enough how essential it is to look very, very carefully at this universal self that runs through everything in the universe. You live together with your world. Only when you thoroughly understand this will everything in the world settle as the self pervading all things." So the self is included. You know, when we say no separate self or no self, you know, a lot of people interpret that as being really nihilistic, like, okay, then I'm, you know, I disappear. And in a certain way you do, but you don't really, because it's the self is included. Your self is included. Anyway, Uchiyama Roshi goes on to say, "As Buddhists, this is our vow or life direction." So this being thoroughly understanding everything in the world as the universal self. "As Buddhists, this is our vow or life direction. We vow to save all sentient beings so that this self may become even more itself." I'm going to say that again. "We vow to save all sentient beings so that this self may become even more itself." So this self is the universal self. But this self also includes this self. It includes each one of us. It includes that. And I love the idea that this self become even more itself. So sometimes people will ask, like, well, how should I practice? What is practice about? Like, think, and we have all these forms in Zen. So we have these forms like, hold your hands in gassho a certain way. When you're the jisho, hold, you know, give the incense in a certain way with a certain hand in a certain direction. When we do a full bow, it's a certain way. When we do orioki, which we're not doing now in the pandemic, but when we do that meal service, there's a lot of choreography, right? Even sitting, there's a certain posture. There's very clear instruction. So it can seem like, okay, it's about being something else. Like, those guys have it right and I don't. But really, it's about being more you, becoming more you, becoming actually the you that is meant to be. And the reason that I've heard and I understand in Zen that we have a lot of these really specific forms is just to help us see where we bump up against it. And then we can notice like where we don't want to be ourselves, and whether we resist or run away, or whether we like enter into it in a rigid way, like I want to be right. How, you know, we can just sort of feel and rub against that, how, you know, how we're interacting with that. And that comes a certain time where we can just let go and beautifully, if we decide to stay in Zen, which not everyone does, and that's fine. If you want to be yourself not being in Zen, there's all kinds of ways to, there's all different expressions. But if you stay in Zen, then you can start doing these forms, or they unfold in a way where you're not rigidly attaching to doing it the right way. And you're also not like rigidly resisting and like yelling at it in your mind and complaining about it, which I did a lot when I was starting to practice. So becoming more yourself. I really appreciate that instruction. Uchi Amaroshi says, this is the direction we continuously face. And he goes on to say, Shakyamuni Buddha said it this way. All worlds are my world, and all sentient beings, people, things, and situations are my children. And he also says, Dogen Zenji's expression, Roshin, nurturing mind or grandmotherly mind, came out of this idea of taking care of all worlds as my world, all beings as my children. And Uchiyama Roshi's way of expressing this is, everything I encounter is my life. So I don't know if Katagiri Roshi said this, but in his book, You Have to Say Something, I think this might be the editor's choice because it's a title. And I don't think Katagiri had titles. This one that I love, the title is To Live as All Beings, which is another way of saying everything, all beings that I encounter, everything I encounter is my life. And I love this expression, to live as all beings. He probably did say that somewhere. So living as all beings, or encountering all beings as our life, is about having compassion for everything and everyone that we encounter, including compassion for ourselves. But if we try to do that from a idea of an individual separate self, we'll get exhausted and burned out very quickly. So I think we can only do that knowing that at the same time that we're encountering all beings as our life, or living as all beings and having compassion for all beings, at the same time that we're doing that, all beings are having compassion for us and supporting us and living, you know, their lives as us as well. So that it's all interrelated like that. And when we have that realization, then whatever we're doing becomes very easeful and joyful. And then we can forget about it. And then we can and then we get tense and, you know, crunchy, and then we remember it and we have some release. So it can be like that. So I think that's all I'd like to say about no separate self for today. And we have about 10 minutes left before we need to start the closing chant. So I just want to see if you have something to say about that, or about anything, any of the four Dharma seals, or anything that's going on with you, questions or comments. Yes, Taizong.
I just want to say that one of my favorite things, when I first started sitting in this way, it really struck me when you said you passed on what you learned about we're not sitting by ourselves or for ourselves. And I remember that a lot. And it's one of the things that really drew me to Zen rather than some other spiritual paths where I felt like I'm just trying to do this for myself, all by myself. And like, so it's really meaningful to me to remember that.
So for the people who might have had a harder time hearing that, I'll just repeat a little bit. So one of the things that Ty said was of the importance of hearing this teaching of we're never sitting by ourselves or for ourselves, and how that was really important to him and really helpful. And Myoshin.
I'm so glad that was my experience. When I heard Joan say that, I just rolled my eyes.
So you thought, oh, that's really esoteric.
Not esoteric, but it's just kind of like, la, la.
Oh,
And it took so many years. Like, I totally believe it now.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally my experience now, but it took like a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say when the interviewer said that to me that sounded esoteric, I kind of thought he meant it sounded like la 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 like that. I didn't really know what the word esoteric meant exactly. So I thought, yeah, I guess people could have that idea.
And I'm only laughing because I love guys so much. I'm so glad it was helpful. And also just keep going. Like, if you like it, if you don't like it, like, just keep on, because the truth is it just unfolds. Everything keeps unfolding.
Yeah. And it's like, if you hear something and it's helpful, then take it in. If you hear something and you're like, that doesn't seem helpful, then you could say, okay, well, I could just be curious about that.
Right. It's okay. Like, I didn't think Joan was stupid. I didn't think it was worthless. I just didn't get it.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's all. Right. That's okay.
Yeah. So, Toku, did you have something?
I did, but why doesn't Patricia go first?
Okay.
No Separate Self is actually one of my favorite teachings in Zen. And I think it's because I certainly realized no self long before I really knew anything about Zen, because I was somebody who wasn't particularly happy and comfortable in the community that I was raised in. Didn't really want to leave it, but couldn't figure out how to be there. And lived a tremendous amount in my own head. And so, you know, my grasp on reality was I was a good student. I did my schoolwork, but that was pretty much my only grasp on reality. And the rest of my life was in my head, either in fantasy, which I could do elaborate storylines, or in some sort of argument with the world, but all in my head. And I knew this, and I thought I was nuts. At least I was pretty sure that I was going to go nuts at some point, and it scared the shit out of me. But I knew that I didn't exist. I knew that I had no reality, as I felt I had to have a reality. And so for me, this teaching, which I encountered probably in my early 20s at some point, was just a tremendous relief, because it was like, oh, okay, I don't have to have it all together. I don't have to have my storyline written. I don't have to have a clear role. And given that I was never any good at having any of those things, this was just a tremendous comfort to realize that I can exist without having to construct a self. And I think as I have experienced life, this feeling has become even more precious to me. this feeling of, because it can be, you know, in our Western tradition, perhaps especially, it's like you're supposed to have a self. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what is adolescence for? It's about figuring out who you are. Oh my God, I failed adolescence. You know, failed it well into my 40s, actually. And I just find it liberating to not have to construct, not have to feel like I have to be constructing that self all the time. And then to really begin to sense the sense of connection. That is just, that's just endless blessing. So thank you.
Thank you. Toku, did you want to say something?
I don't think so. I just want to kind of bathe in that very profound teaching from Pat. Thank you.
So we have time for at least one more question or comment, if there's anyone else.
I think I'd like to say one thing. I had a teacher who talked about sitting with and for and as all beings. He added as all beings, and I call that up now as almost a mantra when I'm grumbly about sitting or feeling lazy. And it kind of snaps me into place that this is not about me. It's not about me, mm-hmm. but it's vast. It's more vast than I can imagine or know. So that's all.
I wonder if the teacher who said that is the same person who edited this book and added that to live as all beings, as all beings.
Close, yeah.
Thank you. I like that. I'm going to start adding that now.
I think no one would agree.
We do have time for one more.
Well, I'll just say if no one else has something that...
you have to speak up.
I'll just say that Sesshin in its in-person container is really about realizing no separate self. Mm-hmm. So we are doing that on Zoom the best we can, but when you practice together over days, it's so obvious, like everything is just everyone. The way the form, the way the container is built is to, I think, help wake us up to that. So I treasure it for that reason. And yeah, we're doing our best. We have it here, maybe, you know, the three of us, and with you in our hearts, but not so much in our bodies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. And also, even just on Zoom, I mean, we can say how many of you would have sat this much over the last few days if you weren't tuning in and seeing that there's other people sitting. Probably that would be really hard to do. I know I wouldn't have been doing it. So even on Zoom, we get a little bit of it, of that sense of how we're supporting each other and how we're interconnected. And yes, and someday, again, someday soon, we will be in person. Vaccines are rolling out. I'm excited. Yeah, and you know, doesn't something like a virus show how interconnected we are? You know, like the behavior of one person affects so many others if the virus is spreading or not. So anyway, so we'll try to keep each other safe now, as you know, the risk is like opening up too soon because we're just desperate. I mean, it's been a year, it's so long, but let's try to remain calm and keep each other safe and know that soon we will be able to safely be together. So, okay, that's it for today. Thank you so much.